This is Glow in the Dark Radio. The science fiction podcast with original independent science fiction written and performed by Mike Luoma, with music by Kevin MacLeod. The Vatican Assassin Trilogy and The Adventures of Alibi Jones by Mike Luoma are available in ebook, trade paperback, and audiobook wherever you find your books online. Get links and details at glowinthedarkradio.com. This is the science fiction podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. And I've got two chapters of The Star Seeds of Earth on the way today, and a Halloween bonus, some poems. Three poems by Edgar Allan Poe. I'll read you Alone, A Dream Within a Dream, and The City in the Sea. That's coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio. As we get back into the starseeds of Earth, Alibi Jones has been transporting asteroids out of the potential path of their now mobile base, the Hornet's Nest, using his mind. Telekinesis. It's working. But it's not working fast enough. He can only move one rock at a time, and there are way too many asteroids in their path. And now, an old crewmate of theirs, Brisby, is apparently leading an assault on the Hornet's Nest. So Alibi has to give up on his attempts and head back inside to help defend his home. That's coming up in the next two chapters of The Star Seeds of Earth. We only have one more episode left to go after this one, with the final two chapters and the epilogue. So we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here. Down to the grand finale, The Star Seeds of Earth. And happy Halloween! As I said, I've got some Edgar Allan Poe for you on the way. Some stuff I haven't read for quite a while, so I wanted to do something a little different. I read The Raven most every year, so changing it up this year. Everything's different this year, right? Also, my patrons are going to be getting Chapter 2 of Vatican Assassin, as we get the new 15th anniversary edition going here, the new audiobook. Patrons get to hear it first, week by week. You'll get it on this podcast eventually. Not right away, not right after The Star Seeds of Earth. I've got the Archmage's History of the Future for you first. And then we'll do the new Vatican Assassin edition. So that's coming up. And with so much on the way, I'm not going to get into a whole lot of news today. I don't have a lot to share. I will mention that I've just posted a brand new Revisiting Raven Ridge video. For those of you who don't know, I've also been doing some exploring here in Vermont, checking out stoneworks, stone chambers, and other things. And in the case of other things, I've found something pretty amazing at Raven Ridge in Moncton, Vermont. So I've made some videos on that, and the new one was just posted today, so you can see that on YouTube, on my YouTube channel. So there, a little bit of news, but we will get into chapters 88 and 89 of The Star Seeds of Earth next on Glow in the Dark Radio.
What are you doing in the kitchen?
Writing a short story.
With a meat mallet?
Well, yeah, my characters are giving me trouble.
What about the cheese grater?
I have to make sure my plot points are evenly spread through the whole story, don't I? Oh, my action scene is done.
Wow, you got it perfectly browned.
350 degrees for 12 minutes. Perfect.
The Melting Podcast, a writing variety show featuring a little of everything from everyone, everywhere. Short and flash fiction, author interviews, book reviews, and more. Come visit the Disaster Kitchen and cook up a story. Something's burning.
My dialogue!
Now here's Chapter 88 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow in the Dark Radio. Chapter 88. Alibi couldn't raise Emily on the comm the entire way back to the Hornet's Nest. He figured the Stinger was somehow jamming communication. The Greater Toss seemed big on force field tech, pushing stuff around. How apropos. Unfortunately for him, that meant Emily couldn't let him know which airlock to avoid, the one they were using for ingress. They'd have to wait for visuals. Let's hope their Stinger ship is only invisible to our instruments and not in reality.
The larger ships are getting much closer, Kitten Cat observed. I calculate they will close distance within 3 standard hours.
Great news, Alibi said.
Aye, Cat. We studied force field technology at Academy, Kitten Cat said. It would be educational to take a look at their field generators and field regulators.
I bet it would, Alibi said.
I know Dr. Krishnamurti would find it intriguing as well, Kitten Cat said. Another force field for him to nullify.
The transpace nullifier made Alibi remember how Cat had sacrificed himself for Alibi. He did lose his body, even if he's kind of back now.
You are thinking of my, Cat's, disembodiment, Kitten Cat said, in an even tone. Since I mentioned the nullifier, you grew quiet.
I was, Alibi said.
Do not place blame for that upon yourself, Kitten Cat said. It was my, Cat's, own mistake that caused that to occur.
They paused.
Yes, entirely Cat's fault.
I could hear them change there, from Cat to Kit. Wild.
Thank you, Alibi said. You did save my life.
Alibi and Kitten Cat didn't have to worry about figuring out where the supposedly invisible Stinger ship had breached as they approached the Hornet's Nest. The safe Stinger may still have been cloaked to their detection instruments, but it was hanging out in plain visual sight, mounted like a swollen metallic pustule on the poor airlock it had blown through on the starboard side, near the landing bays. The visuals impacted Alibi with a sick sense of being just plain wrong.
The Solar Alliance is invading my home.
Fucking Brisby! Alibi shouted into shattering silence. Neither of we did not care for Lieutenant Brisby, Kitten Cat said. He did not seem to have much use for Dakur.
I didn't have much use for Mr. Brisby, Alibi said. I can't believe he'd come back like this. I mean, I can because he is, but man, what balls!
Perhaps he is merely being used, Kitten Cat said. Utilized, like a tool.
Oh, he's a tool, all right, Alibi said. He wasn't my favorite person in the universe, but I didn't expect him to betray us all. We might have to kill him. They both grew quiet.
If we must, we must, Kitten Cat said. He has chosen the wrong side.
I guess, Alibi said. He changed the subject. Any luck getting through their shield?
No, Kitten Cat said. We still can't talk to anyone inside.
Let's not risk the landing bays, Alibi said. We'll use an airlock, too. Kitten Cat agreed. Alibi piloted them around the Hornet's Nest, and they lined up their ship with an airlock opposite the one the enemy had used for ingress. Kitten Cat brought them in.
We are connected,
Kitten Cat said, as Alibi felt the deck shudder.
Sorry, a bit rough coming in.
No worries, Alibi said. Extend the cowl, too, and create another seal around the lock, Alibi said, just in case.
Extending the cowl, Kitten Cat said, confirming the action. Do you think it will be necessary?
We don't know who'll be on the other side of the airlock when we open it, Alibi said. If they start shooting, let's be ready. I'd rather avoid explosive decompression if we can. Alibi and Kitten Cat headed for the connecting airlock. Alibi checked the blaster in his right hand, set for stun, with half a pack's charge left. He wasn't sure whether it was a worry for numbers or some kind of compassion that led him to use stun. But he let it make him feel better about himself anyway. Why not? On stun, that amount of charge would let him take out about 100 people. If he set it for kill, about half that many. So stun it was. I'd rather not be a killer. But this is my home, and they're invading it. I will protect my home. The corridor they cautiously stepped out into was empty. Alibi gestured for Kitten Cat to follow, and headed for the juncture down the hall to the left. Alibi snuck a look around the corner. Clear. He took the opportunity to try his comm. Maybe they'll work inside. Emily, do you read? It's Alibi. Alibi, Emily answered. Alibi heard blaster fire in the background. Where are you? Don't want to say, Alibi said. You know? Point taken, she said. What's your situation? We're holding off a small party, she said. I count three. Figure they're advanced scouts, so we'll no doubt see a lot more of them soon. Could use some backup. Gotcha, Alibi said. Let me see what I can do. Chapter 89. Brisby sighed. He looked over at the two safe troopers Drummond left with him in the administrative offices. He was pretty sure they were more there to keep Brisby from following Drummond and his men than they were to take any orders Brisby gave them. Corporal Bouchot caught his eye, nodded at him. Brisby gave a curt nod back, then pretended to study the mission package on the desk in front of him. Brisby wasn't really in charge. He'd discovered that ugly truth on their way to the Hornet's Nest. He might be the mission commander and outrank Drummond, but it was Lieutenant Drummond who was truly in command of the incursion. They'd used Brisby to try to get inside the Hornet's Nest without a fight. Once it turned out there would be resistance from Alibi's people, his usefulness ended. Drummond had started barking orders, orders Brisby hadn't been given or known about. Brisby laughed. The joke was on him. Damn it! All he'd ever wanted was to do the right thing.
Commander Brisby, ha! Brisby said to himself.
What was that, sir? Corporal Bouchot said.
Nothing, Bouchot, Brisby said. Just checking on Drummond's fire team.
Yes, sir, the corporal said. It looked to Brisby like the woman was barely holding back a smirk. He was pretty sure she was in with Drummond. She certainly knew Brisby was being sidelined now, since she was here with him, while Drummond and the rest were gone on the attack.
"Anything yet, sir?" Marjapal asked. He didn't think Private Marjapal was in with Drummond. The other safe trooper was young and green enough they likely figured he'd follow Bouchot's lead.
Not yet, Brisby said.
This used to be the control center? Marjapal asked. Sir?
Brisby noticed the sir came slowly, an afterthought. Whatever Marjapal knew, Brisby knew he couldn't count on the man to follow him after that.
But follow him in what? Brisby wasn't sure what he should do. Coming back to the Hornet's Nest felt like... what?
Coming back to a home away from home, anyway.
He'd spent a lot of time in this room when it was the base's control center. He'd been part of Alibi Jones's crew. What was the right thing to do now? Maybe Drummond had been wise to leave him under guard.
Yep, Brisby said.
They've made some changes since I was here last. This was Alibi Jones's desk,
He slapped the top, and Busho jumped. She must have been zoning out.
I knew we'd taken it too easily.
Yes, sir, Majapal said. Brisby Keed opened his comm. He decided he wasn't going to just let Drummond take this mission from him. Screw that.
Drummond, report! He barked.
What? Drummond said over the comm. I mean, what was that, sir?
I said report, Brisby said. What's your sit rep?
We're moving in toward the new command center, Drummond said.
Sir. Any resistance?
Brisby said. Not so far, sir, Drummond said. Though we saw a lot of civilians out and about on our way in, they all seem to have scattered. Place now looks like it's deserted. My scouts are reporting returning some fire from the command center, one down but just stunned.
Good, Brisby said. Let me know when you're in position.
Yeah, yes, sir, Drummond said. Drummond out. Brisby smiled. Maybe he wasn't in charge anymore, but he could act like he was, and be a pain in Drummond's ass. Drummond probably assumed Brisby was too dumb to figure out he'd been superseded. Let him. Brisby sat down in the chair at Alibi's old desk. Where was Alibi Jones? Brisby had only spoken with Emily Brown, who sounded kind of strange when it came right down to it. Then again, these were strange circumstances. He got that. Maybe Alibi was still off chasing after starseeds. Or maybe that was him and that other ship, pushing asteroids out of the way of the now mobile nest with some new force field they couldn't detect. That was driving the Greater Ta nuts. They were all about their force fields. He heard they were working on some kind of sweeper force field of their own now. Weird, though. Brisby hadn't seen any sign of Alibi Jones. That was Chapter 89 of The Starseeds of Earth on Glow-in-the-Dark Radio. So Brisby's not actually in charge of the invasion force. Probably lucky for him. But Drummond and his men are directly engaging with Emily and her people now. The fight is on, and we only have two more chapters left of The Starseeds of Earth coming up next week on Glow-in-the-Dark Radio. Now, before I wrap things up, we've got a special extra for you. A little bit of Edgar Allan Poe for your Halloween festivities on Glow in the Dark Radio. Edgar Allan Poe. Alone. From childhood's hour, I have not been as others were. I have not seen as others saw. I could not bring my passions from a common spring. From the same source, I have not taken my sorrow. I could not awaken my heart to joy at the same tone. And all I loved alone. Then, in my childhood, in the dawn of a most stormy life, was drawn from every depth of good and ill the mystery which binds me still. From the torrent or the fountain, from the red cliff of the mountain, from the sun that round me rolled its autumn tint of gold, from the lightning in the sky as it passed me flying by, from the thunder and the storm and the cloud that took the form when the rest of heaven was blue of a demon in my view.
Edgar Allan Poe. A dream within a dream. Take this kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, thus much let me avow. You are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. Yet if hope has flown away, in a night or in a day, in a vision or in none, is it therefore the less gone? All that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep, while I weep. Oh God, can I not grasp them with a tighter clasp? Oh God, can I not save one from the pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream? Edgar Allan Poe. The City in the Sea. Lo, Death has reared himself a throne in a strange city lying alone, far down within the dim west, where the good and the bad and the worst and the best have gone to their eternal rest. Their shrines and palaces and towers, time-eaten towers that tremble not, resemble nothing that is ours. Around, by lifting winds forgot, resignedly beneath the sky, the melancholy waters lie. No rays from the holy heaven come down on the long nighttime of that town, but light from out the lurid sea streams up the turrets silently, gleams up the pinnacles far and free, up domes, up spires, up kingly halls, up fanes, up Babylon-like walls, up shadowy, long-forgotten bowers of sculptured ivy and stone flowers, up many and many a marvelous shrine whose wreathed friezes intertwine the viol, the violet, and the vine. Resignedly, beneath the sky, the melancholy waters lie. So blend the turrets and shadows there that all seem pendulous in air, while from a proud tower in the town, Death looks gigantically down. Their open fanes and gaping graves yawn, level with the luminous waves. But not the riches there that lie in each idol's diamond eye. Not the gaily jeweled dead tempt the waters from their bed. For no ripples curl, alas, along that wilderness of glass. No swellings tell that winds may be upon some far-off, happier sea. No heavings hint that winds have been on seas less hideously serene. But lo, a stir is in the air. The wave, there is a movement, there, as if the towers had thrust aside, in slightly sinking the dull tide, as if their tops had feebly given a void within the filmy heaven. The waves have now a redder glow. The hours are breathing faint and low. And when, amid no earthly moans, down, down that town shall settle hence, hell, rising from a thousand thrones, shall do it reverence. The words of Edgar Allan Poe on Glow in the Dark Radio. And the music of Kevin MacLeod. Found some awesome pieces of Kevin's to use behind the words, behind the poems. Alone, A Dream Within a Dream, and The City in the Sea by Edgar Allan Poe. Poems for your Halloween festivities. And that is going to do it for this episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Hope you enjoyed that little Halloween diversion. And the two chapters of The Starseeds of Earth. We'll be getting into the final two chapters in the epilogue, the end of the book, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio. Glow in the Dark Radio. This podcast presentation is copyright 2020 by Michael F. Luoma and is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 International License. CC by NCND 4.0. Music by Kevin MacLeod. You can find his work at Accompetech.com and filmmusic.io. Mike's books are available in ebook, paperback, and audiobook wherever you find books online. Get links and more details at glowinthedarkradio.com and MikeLuoma.com. This has been a presentation of Glow in the Dark Radio.